Now, here's one trade. So when the Chargers got Ladd McConkey, they traded with the Patriots. And I, as a Drake May supporter, wanted the Patriots to get Ladd McConkey, so I was bummed they traded out of that. But the Patriots got Jalen Polk, and with the fourth rounder they got in the trade, they got Javon Baker from Central Florida, receiver. As much as I love Ladd McConkey, I think getting both those guys for the Patriots is probably better than just getting one.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to count Javon Baker with the Jalen Polk as a win for the Patriots for getting both those guys as part of that trade. Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Wednesday, May 1st. We're already in May. Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable.
Yeah, moving crazy fast.
New Year's felt like a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the kids, and by the kids, I mean the students, can't believe it's moving so fast. I'm trying to cram in all of my, you know, all the lessons that I really want to get to. Because, yeah, it's coming.
You're almost on summer vacation.
Almost, yeah. Got a couple more weeks, but yeah.
Well, we got a lot to talk about today. NFL draft recap. We're going to go. I think what we'll do is go through, like, our favorite picks by round, then maybe, like, our favorite teams collectively, and just kind of see what happens.
Cool.
We're doing it by round, that'll make sure we're getting some of the later round guys in there. I was looking at it. It's a lot of defensive guys for me if we're doing round by round. So I'll have a few per round to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
As always, though, Matt, we start with the ick of the week. Are you ready for that?
Yes, absolutely.
Fellas, this week's ick is having exposed bare ankles. So take that for what it's worth.
So just like don't go swimming at all is what that seems to mean?
I was thinking more of you're like wearing like pants with like shoes with like ankle socks, that part right there.
I guess so.
Maybe it is just like generally you should just wear like a wetsuit.
Yeah.
Or tights or like long socks or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So be careful.
I guess so.
Be careful with them ankles. All right. Well, let's get into it. Yeah, so we'll go by round, and then we'll go some team-specific stuff. Any draft thoughts on your end?
I mean, it got to be the cornerbacks. We've been talking about on this podcast for about 5 years.
You were very excited.
Yeah.
The Eagles got both those cornerbacks.
I mean, so I have to bring that up. So we can get into that. I guess the big thought, though, is 15 offensive players taken before a single defensive player.
I think it's like shattered the record. I don't remember what the record was, but it was
which
like,
is crazy. And is that a coincidence? Was this a weak defensive class, a strong offensive class, just happened to be the needs of the teams picking?
Both. So both.
Yeah.
So the strength was offensive, like quarterbacks, receivers, and offensive tackles was the strength. And there weren't, like the defensive guys, there wasn't like a Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa like type prospect offensively.
Yeah.
So we'll still talk about some of the defenders. I think they're very good. But it was a little bit of both. And also the teams at the top needed, the one team that we thought needed defense went with Michael Penix Jr. So.
Yeah.
Which what a pick. I've been all over the place as far as kind of my thoughts on that. Let's start there before we get into, I think that's kind of the most interesting part.
Okay.
People, and with the caveat, I think we both think Penix is a good player. Yes. I don't think Kirk Cousins is that good. I'm lower on Kirk Cousins, but here's where my issue is. Everyone defending the pick, it's like, oh, it's like what Green Bay did with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Oh, you need to have a contingency plan. Oh, Kirk Cousins is recovering. Oh, they fell in love with Michael Penix. First off, it's nothing like the Green Bay situation.
No, it is not.
Aaron Rodgers has been there for years. He'd won a Super Bowl. Love was picked in the 20s. He was like 21 at the time.
Right.
They didn't. Kirk Cousins hasn't played a game there.
Yeah, and in no game he's played has he been Aaron Rodgers.
No. Zero loyalty. Aaron Rodgers has also been, had been like out the door almost, coming off a bad season.
Uh-huh.
With the Packers. Now, he went, I think he won two MVPs or at least one MVP after the Love pick. If the, you're saying, oh, they did it to piss off Kirk Cousins, why are you trying to piss off someone you just gave $180 million to?
Yeah.
If you think he needs motivation, don't give him $180 million.
Yes, that's a lot of money to spend on somebody you're not sure about.
If you think Penix is a guy, don't give Kirk Cousins $180 million.
Yeah.
There's no circumstance where if you wanted Penix, you should have given Kirk $180 million. Let's say, so option A, Kirk plays 2 years, they get rid of him. Penix is going to be 26 when he's starting for the first time.
Yeah.
The benefit of a, we've talked about this, having a quarterback on a rookie contract means you can spend money elsewhere. Falcons don't get to do that. Because no. They're paying Kirk $180 million.
Yeah, so you're not taking advantage of the rookie contract. You're not taking advantage of the fact that Michael Penix is old. I mean, the only reason to draft a quarterback in the top 10 who's already 24 is that he's theoretically ready to play right now.
Out of every quarterback in the draft, I think most analysts would say he's one who's like most ready. Like, if you have to play him right now, he's the guy.
Yeah.
Because he don't, what's he going to learn at 25 sitting on the bench?
Yeah.
Whereas J.J. McCarthy, who's young, if you're, he's actually probably going to play by the second half of the season at least, but he can learn stuff. He didn't get a lot of reps.
Mm-hmm.
Penix has been playing since I lived in Arizona.
That feels so long ago.
Yeah.
Like, we have been in this house together for a while, and that didn't happen until you'd already been here for a couple of years.
Yeah. So... I don't know. And literally, any defense, and it's nothing to do with Penix as a player. It's what the Falcons did with their contract and the roster situation.
Uh-huh.
Like, just don't give $180 million. Do what the Vikings did and sign Sam Darnold for a year for $10 million.
Yeah.
Or Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett for $8 million. Honestly, I think he's pretty close to Kirk Cousins. But if you're going to draft Penix, do that. Do what the Patriots did.
Absolutely.
Do what the Commanders did. Makes no sense.
Yeah, just two decisions that cannot go together.
They don't coexist at all. And if you think Kirk Cousins is a guy, now, we've also talked about you can't expect rookies to contribute right away, but it'd sure help if you had the worst pass rush in the league last year to get your choice of the best defender in the league.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to pay A.J. Terrell or let him walk, their stud cornerback. You could have had anybody you wanted. You're not just playing for this year, but you do need help on the defensive side quite a bit. And the next, like, three or four picks were defensive guys, if not, like, on the defensive line. So they know it's a problem. It's just, it's indefensible. And I think the problem was giving Kirk Cousins that money, not taking Penix there.
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, that's been a problem for a very long time.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So, but once they did give Kirk that money, he's like, you can't do it. So...
Right.
Makes no sense. Doesn't make any sense. So, those are my thoughts. Those are our thoughts. Sounds like we're on the same page there.
Yes, we're definitely on the same page.
Okay. Should we talk about what some teams did well?
Yeah, let's do talk about the teams that did well.
Okay, so let's start round one, obviously. And then we'll go to round seven. Then we'll talk about some teams. Obviously, the Eagles are going to come up there.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite pick, this was actually kind of tough. I'm going to go with... the Colts picking Latu, the edge rusher, getting because the Falcons didn't go edge or defense. The Raiders were another team that maybe could have. The Colts all the way at 15 get the first defensive player, in my opinion, the best edge rusher in the draft. Might have the best defensive player in the draft, all the way at 15. So I like that.
Yes. Yeah. No. And that is the good thing we talked about all those players falling is you do get that guy. And then, yeah, especially, you know, them drafting that quarterback last year, it's like, yeah, let's strengthen up the defensive line now. So I'm with you. That's a very good pick.
I'm guessing yours was Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah. I mean, 22, who was supposed to go 12, 13.
For the Eagles to just sit there And just get the guy.
And get the guy, you know, who most athletic corner in the draft, some of the best statistics. I mean, really the only knock is that he played at Toledo. But you look how he played at the Senior Bowl, which is hard to think one game would be a huge indicator, but people seem to really trust it. He played phenomenal.
Yeah.
So
well, and at Toledo is a lot of, like, off-zone type of defense. And the Senior Bowl is a lot of press man, so he showed he can do both.
Yes.
Which he hadn't shown at Toledo. Did you hear Nick Saban just basically, not, he's like, he, we tampered. He was like, we were trying to get him to come in the portal, and he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So Nick Saban wanted him, and Nick Saban's a defensive, he's like, he played defensive back. That's his position.
Yes. Yeah, so he's very clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to not have to trade up is great. Now, we talked about before, like, the Eagles should go tackle here. All the tackles were gone by, I think, 14. And a couple more went after Jordan Morgan and Tyler Guyton. But really the ones you would want, oh, 20, excuse me, to Pittsburgh with Troy Fatanu. But if all the tackles were gone and the best cornerback is there,
mm-hmm.
go get him.
Yeah.
So great.
So we're phenomenal. And then when the second best corner falls to the second round, you can go get him too.
That's great transition because that's my favorite pick of the second round is Cooper DeJean. In my opinion, he was the best defensive back in the draft.
Yeah.
So obviously Howie Roseman disagrees, but it doesn't matter because he got both of them.
Yeah. So so they can figure out when they get there.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah, we've talked off air, but Cooper DeJean, I think he can play corner. I think he can also play nickel, safety, throw him in a linebacker for fun. He can do whatever he wants. So pairing him, the Swiss Army knife, who's super athletic and can return kicks, with Quinion Mitchell, who's a true cornerback. Just couldn't have elevated the secondary more in the draft. Like, with not only just the quality of players, but, like, the style of play. It's mm-hmm. perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I agree. So, yeah. Very happy with that. Got some other positions of need. But, I mean, really, the corners are the ones who, you know, it feels like are going to play. So.
Yeah, you were very happy with the Cooper DeJean pick.
So thrilled, yeah.
Another one I liked was right after Kool-Aid going at 41 to the Saints. I think he was someone I thought was a very good player. So falling to 41 and getting him there. Ladd McConkey going to the Chargers. I like that. Mike Sansero. A lot of defensive backs I liked.
Yeah.
Mike Sansero from Michigan going to the Commanders. Zach Frazier, center, going to the Steelers. Those were my favorite picks of the second round. Also got a shout out Kingsley Suamataia, proud BYU grad.
Yes, sir.
Or attendee, I guess. I don't know if he graduated or not.
Yes, yeah. I don't know if he was a senior or not, but
also from the state of Utah. Utah does very good. I tweeted this, but Utah's high school like athletes that sign with the college per high school football player
mm-hmm.
is like top 10 of the country every year.
Yeah.
Like the quality, it's never going to be quantity like Georgia, Texas, California.
Yes.
But the quality is very good.
Yeah.
A lot of NFL roots there. Any other round two picks before we go to three?
No specific ones. I think you hit them. So let's do three.
Okay. So ones I liked in three, Braylon Trice, edge from Washington, going to the Falcons. So they did something there. That I liked. Let's see. This actually wasn't a great round, in my opinion. But Peyton Wilson, linebacker, going to Steelers. I feel like I'm giving you a sneak peek of teams I'm going to like by the teams.
Right.
Now, he doesn't have an ACL, is the problem.
It's not ideal, yeah.
But Tajay Spears doesn't. He played running back. Yeah. So, if Peyton Wilson can stay healthy, and that's a big if, but back around three, who cares? It's a gamble. I think he's the best linebacker in the class. I had him as my 32nd best player, so I don't know if I'd take him in the first round, but talent-wise, I had him there.
Yeah.
So back around three, I think, is great. I watched him just wreck backfields. Unfortunately, it was North Carolina's backfield a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Round three picks for you before we go to numero cuatro.
Let me Yeah, I actually don't have that draft pull up, so I can pull that up. But no, you're hitting the big ones.
I'm just hitting the big ones.
Yeah, so I'd say let's go to round four.
All right, so while you're pulling that up, Troy Franklin, he's someone with borderline first rounder I thought would probably go in the second round. I didn't like him in the first round, but I loved him in the fourth round. Pairing up with Bo Nix again, I think that's a great fit. Great player in the fourth round. It's, you know, really it's the value I like here. So love Troy Franklin going to the Broncos there. Now here's one trade. So when the Chargers got Ladd McConkey, they traded with the Patriots. And I, as a Drake May supporter, wanted the Patriots to get Ladd McConkey, so I was bummed they traded out of that. But the Patriots got Jalen Polk, and with the fourth rounder they got in the trade, they got Javon Baker from Central Florida, receiver. As much as I love Ladd McConkey, I think getting both those guys for the Patriots is probably better than just getting one.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to count Javon Baker with the Jalen Polk as a win for the Patriots for getting both those guys as part of that trade. Let's see. Who else?
No, makes a lot of sense. Yeah, good strategy. Trading down, you know, we see they've been doing that for years, just trading down to get more picks, and it's really worked out for them. So.
Yeah. Niners got safety Malik Mustafa. What a name.
That is a great name.
From Wake Forest. I love him. So excited for that he went to the Niners. Will Shipley, another Eagles pick. Five-star recruit out of high school, almost went to North Carolina from Charlotte area. Went to Clemson, obviously. I think he's a really good athlete. I think he plays the position well, gets yards after contact. So I like him, especially pairing with Saquon Barkley and Kellen Moore. The Eagles, Jalen Hurts historically doesn't really use running backs that often, but Kellen Moore does, the new offensive coordinator. So I'm interested to see if Jalen Hurts uses Saquon and Will Shipley as check down or even like as part of the passing game more.
Right.
But Shipley, I think, can have a productive year for the Eagles.
Yes. Yeah. Shipley can, for sure. And I think it's just, we had so many of our running backs leave. We just needed to rebuild that room. Well, and it's interesting for another reason, because for so many years we've been a running back by committee team. With Saquon, that's not going to happen. He's obviously going to be the feature back. So it'll be interesting to see how much he gets into the game, although I think it's going to be more given his ability to catch passes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like it. I think it's a great fit for Will Shipley. I want him to go somewhere like Philly, so I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
Jaden Hicks from Washington State, super athletic safety, going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
TJ Tampa, cornerback, Iowa State, went to Baltimore. I thought he could have gone as well in the second round, so Baltimore getting in the fourth is a great steal there.
Definitely.
Okay.
Sione Vaki, another Utah guy.
Yeah.
And then I enjoy it. I don't know if you noticed this, but the 49ers got Jacob Cowing, which is as similar to a name as you're going to get.
It's true.
So.
And he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. The career receiving yards, he had like 4,500 in college. The next closest were like 3,100 or something like that.
Yeah.
Just does everything well. Super great route runner, shifty. I think he's going to be great in the 49ers offense.
Mm-hmm.
And Sione Vaki, Brad Holmes, the general manager for the Detroit Lions, was talking about at Utah's Pro Day. Sione Vaki did the defensive back drills and then running back drills and then receiver drills and then was returning kicks. Like, he's like, I've never seen someone do four workouts in a Pro Day.
Yeah.
And I think that's what sold the Lions on Sione Vaki.
Just that he's going to be a good football player somewhere.
Yeah. I like him at safety. He likes him at safety. But why not, you know, put him at running back on the goal line once in a while,
yeah,
or have him line up on special. He literally play every snap, including, he's not going to obviously, but sure, like just one of those like really good football players.
Yeah.
Fits Detroit's MO. And Detroit with like Terry and Arnold, like they got some like personalities, the type of guys they got. They're going to be on the team drafts that I like.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Okay. Fifth round, Cam Hart, Notre Dame. He's someone who I really liked. He's a cornerback, so getting him in the fifth round, taking a flyer. Used to play receiver, so he's still kind of learning corner in a way. Mm-hmm. I think he has a chance to develop into a starter there. We're running out of people here just because we're in the fifth round. I like the Saints taking a shot on Spencer Rattler. You know my feelings about Derek Carr.
Yes, yeah. Well, and it is interesting because with Jalen Hurts, I was not initially excited for the Eagles just because, like, this is a guy who I didn't feel like super accurate in college, and he ended up transferring to Oklahoma because he didn't win the starting job at his own college, which is a very similar situation to Spencer Rattler, although Rattler continued to fell much worse than Jalen Hurts did.
You know, ironically, one of the reasons Rattler fell was because of that Netflix show, QB1,
uh-huh,
where he, again, he's in high school. So I'm just quoting other people. I'm not saying I agree with this, but he had like a bad attitude, bad leader, whatever.
Yeah.
It's been credited, I think, by Shane Beamer. So like third party from Spencer Rattler. But like when he was at Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts was there.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts helped him a lot with like the character growth and leadership. So ironically, Jalen Hurts helped Spencer Rattler quite a bit
that as far as his development. So Hurts transferred while Rattler was like a freshman, and then Rattler came out, had a great year at Oklahoma, and then lost the starting job like two games into his junior year to Caleb Williams.
I think it was like five, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So yeah, Caleb Williams, same draft.
Hey,
yeah. But Rattler is the best, honestly, in the last few years, just like natural thrower. Like he just so smooth. Now, I thought about the same thing about Josh Rosen, and that didn't work out for me. So I'm not putting all my eggs in the Spencer Rattler basket.
Right.
But fifth round pick, I would have taken a second or third on Spencer just because look how well that second round pick worked out for the Eagles.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So fifth round pick, I love it.
Yeah, I think people are, you know, should be taking more shots at quarterback in the fifth, sixth round. Just because you never know, you know, they're going to be a fine enough backup because you're not really going to win with your backup anyway.
Especially someone as talented as Spencer Rattler. I love it. Mm-hmm. So, another one, Anaya Smith. Back to the Eagles. Really good athlete. I like him with a ball. Kick returns can something you can do with the new kick return rule, so I like that pick there.
Mm-hmm.
Jamari Thrash, Louisville receiver going to the Browns. I like... That's it really for round five for me.
Yeah.
For like super noteworthy ones, I would say. Let's go to round six, see what we got here. Do anything on your end as I'm scrolling through?
Let's see. 666.
There's going to be one. Dylan Lobb, running back, New Hampshire. Really good athlete, like pass, he's the best pass catching back, like pure pass catching back. He's never going to be a three down guy, but like kind of a, you know, change up for the Raiders there. So in the sixth round, why not take a shot there? That's probably my favorite actually in the sixth round. I'm trying to scroll back up.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the sixth round at this point, so
yeah, I think they're actually more in the seventh that I liked. I'm in the seventh. Brendan Rice, Chargers, USC. Same thing. I thought he could have gone in like the fourth. So getting him in the seventh.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's what I've heard is a steal from a lot of people.
Especially because the Chargers just need receiver help. So like, why not take Brendan Rice there in the seventh? Take a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if he would have gone in the second, I was like, I don't love it. But in the seventh, you know, it's basically for free.
For sure.
Same thing. Todd Washington, his teammate, USC wide receiver, going to the Miami Dolphins. Quarterback Michael Pratt. He went to Green Bay, so I don't love the situation for Michael Pratt, but I like him as a player. I like him more than some of the other quarterbacks. So Green Bay, and they drafted Sean Clifford last year, but I think Pratt's better, and he should be the backup to Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for Pratt, probably not going to get a shot to start, but I do like him quite a bit. And Jalen Key from Alabama, last pick of the draft. I thought he was a good player. So
there you go. So there's the NFL draft for you.
Yeah. There's the NFL draft. So there's a few teams we'll want to talk about. We can start with the Eagles We'll start with the Pennsylvania teams. Because I think they did the best, and B, you're an Eagles fan. Any other notes before we dive into that?
No. Yeah, let's get straight into that.
Well, we've already talked about the two big picks, but Quinton Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. Secondary was such a problem, and now you got these two guys, Slay. What's the white guy's name from Middle Tennessee State?
Blankenship.
I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. Bradbury might get cut, might not get cut. Who knows? I love it. It's a revamped secondary.
Yes. Yeah, hugely helpful. So we're going to need the defensive line, you know, Brandon Graham is still here, but Fletcher Cox is officially gone. So, you know, people are going to need to be healthy, and they're going to really need to step up. Jordan Davis especially hasn't quite played to his potential. This is going to be the third year now. So,
now, Jalix Hunt, your third-round pick, he's a very athletic edge rusher who needs to learn the position a little bit better.
Yeah.
So going to places like the Eagles where you have all those veterans, including Brandon Graham, you know, one of the best defensive lines year in and year out in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect spot where he does it. He's not going to be relied on to do as much as a rookie as he would in other places. He can learn. So I think that's a perfect situation for him. And if he is going to be, you know, unlock his potential, Philly's the place for that. We talked about most of these picks. Jeremiah Trotter's fun, you know, going back to where his dad played.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice kind of wear the same jersey number, I assume.
Yeah. I don't love Johnny Wilson, but in the sixth round, who cares?
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the, I think, the reason if you were going to give this draft a B, we didn't really get the offensive lineman that we need.
So. Yeah, and that's just kind of how the board fell. So in a way, it's good you didn't reach for him, you know, do some.
Yes. Good. Yeah. And I agree with that. I wouldn't have done it any differently. I'm super happy with the defensive players, but we do need to figure out that offensive line.
My opinion on the draft is like 90% of the time, we'll say 85%. You shouldn't be drafting like, oh, we need this person. You should just be getting the best player. Free agency should be for like filling needs, things like that. Because like year over year, things change. So you're drafting for need 1 year. Next year, there's a different need that you could have solved already. So just get the best players. And I think Philly did that.
Yeah.
They do need to figure out tackle, especially, you know, next year. But we'll worry about that when it comes.
Yes, we will.
Now, if we go across the state to Pittsburgh, their first two picks, Troy Fautanu and Zach Frazier, awesome. Like, and with Broderick Jones last year, just a revamped offensive line. I think Fautanu can play anywhere. Versatility is one of the things that I've talked about and things that I like. Zach Frazier is a wrestling state champion.
Mm-hmm.
Love him there. And he's in West Virginia, so short drive over to Pittsburgh. Peyton Wilson, we talked about. They got Roman Wilson in the third round, I think, is a fun compliment to George Pickens, who I think is going to blow up this year. So especially those first picks I really, really liked for Pittsburgh. I think they did well. Any team you liked outside of those ones?
Let's look at just Detroit, I think, has been really fun. Their drafts the last few years. So I think looking at them, Terry and Arnold falling to them, really good. They also got another quarter in the second round with Rakestraw, who I felt like fell in the latest mock drafts, but I did see him in the first round quite a lot. So getting him at pick 61, I think is great.
Yeah, it's someone who Daniel Jeremiah really loved as well. And I trust him as much as anybody else as far as, you know, grading players. So getting both those guys, secondary was a massive problem for Detroit. Last year, they just tried to patch it with, like, one-year deals to, like, Emmanuel Mosley and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So deciding to, like, actually invest in it, I really like it. The only thing I did love about the draft, like, when they – Giovanni Manu, the tackle from British Columbia, they traded a future third to get him. I just don't like that type of thing where you're trading a round up in the future.
Yeah.
So I didn't like the trades. The players they got, I like. It's just like a couple of the trades they made. Really just that one I didn't love.
Yeah.
But the actual players I think are fun.
Yeah. I liked it because the that third round pick went to Philadelphia.
Oh, so, yeah. No, it's great.
So I was a big fan.
Howie Roseman did great. I see some people being like, oh, Howie Roseman doesn't actually draft that well. And it's like, A, yes, he does. B, he wins like every trade from just like a value perspective.
He does win a lot of trades.
So it's not like he hits necessarily more than anybody else. He's getting more value than everybody else.
Yes. Yeah. Totally agree.
As well, I mean, if we just look at contract wise, AJ Brown's had that big extension.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the Cowboys, they just refuse to extend people until they have to, and it costs them millions and millions of dollars. To the point where they couldn't sign anybody in free agency and they had to trade back to get more rookie contract players and things like that. The Eagles signed players early and it saves them a lot of money.
Which is
involves more gambling.
But. Yeah, it is crazy because we did pay AJ Brown the most of any wide receiver ever, but I still think it saved us money.
I saw with like void years and things like that, it's like an 11-year, $600 million contract or something like that.
Yeah, the Eagles are getting into this New Orleans Saints thing where, like, especially like I know Devonta Smith's contract and definitely Saquon Barkley's is one of those we'll pay you in 10 years from now sorts of deals.
Yeah,
which I don't totally understand how those are legal and why they work, but
no. But I love it. No, I think they did great, and I think that's the reason the Eagles do so well. Now, Buffalo, that's one that I liked for a lot of the same reasons. When they trade with Kansas City, everybody's like, oh, how can you trade with Kansas City? Well, first of all, if you're doing a trade, you presumably think you're getting the better value. So wouldn't you want to trade with Kansas City?
You would think so, yeah.
Secondly, they still got the guy they presumably wanted. They traded twice. They also traded with Carolina from 32 to 33. So you're getting more picks. You still get the guy you want. They just had an exodus of veteran players, so they need as much rookie contracts and like cheap labor as they can.
Yeah.
So I thought they did really well. Keon Coleman, I love. Cole Bishop from Utah. We watched him play just because he played at Utah.
Yep.
Great player. Let's see. Dwayne Carter is a fun defensive tackle. Ray Davis. If you watch Ray Davis in the Florida game, he's like, oh, this guy should win the Heisman. Like, just to blow it up. The linebacker from Washington, Ulo Ofosio. I apologize for any mispronunciation there. But they had, let's see, I think it's 10 picks. When you're in the situation Buffalo's in, getting 10 picks and let's say 4 or 5 of them work out.
That's great. Well, yeah, that's what people don't understand. Like, you're just going to miss draft picks. It's going to happen to every GM no matter what.
Stuff happens.
So yeah, the more you can have, it's generally better. So,
yeah. So I thought Buffalo did well. A lot of people liked Arizona's, and they did the same thing. They picked a lot of players. Other than Marvin Harrison Jr., I just didn't, like, love a lot of the players they picked. But
nobody were super excited
about it. Literally, no one knows anything. So some of them are going to work out.
Yeah.
I saw, like, Darius Robinson, they should have got Jerzon Newton, who Washington got at that spot. That was really my main complaint.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, like, they got a lot of players. So some of them are going to work out.
Good for them. So yeah. Maybe win 5 games this year?
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe. They were pretty feisty last year. Surprisingly feisty.
They beat us.
Yeah. I liked what the Chargers did. Like, Joe Alt, Ladd McConk. The Chargers were never going to draft a receiver. Jim Harbaugh was telling you we're going to take an offensive lineman. Everyone was like, oh, they're going to take Malik Nabers. They were always going to draft a tackle. I thought they would trade down. So that was a surprise for me. But every single mock draft was like, oh, they're going to take Malik Nabers. Like, there's not a chance in the world that happens.
Yeah. And Joe Alt, first tackle in the draft. Does he compare to other first tackles in the draft, do you think?
He's very good. His dad played tackle in the NFL. He grew up playing like quarterback and tight end and things like that. So he's only started playing tackle relatively recently. Harbaugh's already said Alt's going to move to the right side and they'll keep Rashawn Slater on the left. So
that is crazy because I saw him and I thought this is one of the biggest humans I've ever seen. So him playing quarterback is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, his dad wanted him to be an athlete first and then learn offensive line.
Interesting.
So his dad like intentionally had him play other positions and not just offensive line his whole life.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense.
And now he has great footwork, and he's great. Yeah. So I liked what the Chargers did. I actually think most teams did decently well. There wasn't a team where I was like, what? Like, this is terrible. I mean, there's some that I didn't, like, love. But
yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, some will become terrible as the years go on, but
yeah, I thought Seattle did all right. I thought the Rams kind of same thing as Detroit. I thought they got good players, but they made an even worse trade. They traded their second that in this year plus next year's second to move up to draft Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Great player, but is he worth 2 second-round picks?
Yes. Yeah.
It's just hard for any player to be worth that.
That
much.
Is a lot. Yeah.
So. And I didn't punch anything with the Niners draft, so I was happy there.
Yeah, well, it was like the Niners don't need anything.
We only got one running back.
Pretty good for you guys.
For me, I'll take one.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Usually it's 2 or 3, it feels like. So yeah, that's the NFL draft. I mean, I feel like we've touched on every team in at least a little bit. I like Graham Barton, who went to Tampa Bay. Yeah. I thought it was fun. I love the draft.
Okay. I did too. Yeah, best one for me in a really long time. So yeah, now we kind of have to sit on football for a little bit.
Yeah, it sucks. We got to wait till August or September or whatever. But yeah, that's the NFL draft. Are you ready for the top 5?
I am ready for the top five.
Okay. I couldn't think of one, so Matt came up with it this time.
I did, and you're going to be a little annoyed, probably, with my topic.
Is it like a women's cross, like 5,000 meter?
No. It is topical, and it's topical because I believe yesterday, although it could have been this morning, Kenya announced their marathon team for the Olympics.
Okay.
I'm going to pick a topic that I think you're going to get some of the teams. But the reason I thought it would be interesting, even to the non-Olympic marathon people,
which is everyone,
is to see how other teams are set, pick teams to go to the Olympics. Because what in the U.S., we do trials. You get top three in the trials, you go to the Olympics. Kenya does not do that. Kenya picks the three people they think are going to do the best. So they have chosen Eliud Kipchoge, who was first person to break the two-hour marathon. He's won the last two Olympics. He's 39 years old. He's been a little off his game, but you still got to send him as a two-time defending champion, right?
Two-hour marathon is so fast.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's like 14 miles an hour.
I literally can't keep that up for one lap.
No, they do. Have you ever seen YouTube videos like that they do at the Boston Marathon or the New York Marathon where they put you in a harness and then they have you run that fast and people do it for like 15 seconds?
Yeah. It's like, because on TV it doesn't look that fast. They are, honestly, I think marathon runners are like one of the most impressive things.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. No, you're totally good. But what I wanted to talk about and just show people is that Evans Chebet did not make the team. And so we're going to make a prediction for these Olympics coming up. And it's because running marathons fast and winning marathons are not necessarily the same skill. So Evans Chebet is a guy who won the Boston Marathon in 2023, the New York Marathon in 2023, and then this most recent Boston Marathon in 2024. He's someone that I would have sent. But instead, they chose Benson Kipruto, who just won the Tokyo Marathon in 2 hours and 2 minutes. So I don't disagree with that pick. He would be in my top three.
This is a complicated top five.
They've also sent Alexander Mutiso.
No one knows these people.
Okay, so Alex, he won the London Marathon in 2 hours and 4 minutes, which is kind of slow for a London Marathon. And Evans Chebet won the Boston Marathon the same month in 2:06, which is a much hillier, harder course. So I think they made the wrong choice, which is long way of going around to say, our top five is top five, countries who have won the most marathon medals.
That was a roundabout way of getting there.
Yeah. I did want to talk about that topic as, it was part of bringing in kind of a side topic that probably should have been part of the main podcast, but I forgot to tell you that's what I was going to do.
Okay. Well, I will say if you've won the Boston Marathon 2 years in a row, you should probably be on the Olympic team. I'll say that.
Yes.
So it's most gold medals?
The top five for total medals and gold medals is the same. They're in a little bit different order.
Okay. So Kenya?
Kenya is on there, although I will say they did not win a gold medal until 2008, which is kind of crazy.
So they're not number one.
They're obviously. Yeah. Which order should we do? Should we do total or should we do gold?
I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So total, they are fourth.
That's it. Okay. Yep. Ethiopia.
Ethiopia is number one.
For both?
They're tied for first for golds.
Okay. I think you're overestimating how many African countries I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, here. Well, here I'll give you a hint. Ethiopia was the first African country.
Are they all in Africa?
Ethiopia was the first African country to win an Olympic marathon medal. And then Kenya did not win any marathon medals any golds until 2008. So think about that as when you're thinking like how well you think Lesotho's done.
That's a country, right?
Person. So, okay. So there's no other African countries.
Well, I wasn't going to say the United States, but now I am.
United States is third.
Is this men's and women's medals combined?
This is just men's.
It's just men.
Because they didn't introduce the women's until 1980, and we've been talking about the Kenyans men's team.
I was reading about the Boston Marathon, like, the 70s, like, this girl ran it, like, dressed up as a dude or something like that, because they wouldn't let her run it.
Yeah, no, they didn't let women run the Boston until pretty recently. I mean, that video is in black and white, so I think it's before the 70s. Yeah, no. So she and someone literally ran on the course and tried to pull her off, and the other male runners that were running with her, like, fought the other dude off so she could run.
Good for them. Good for her. Okay, so USA, Kenya, Ethiopia. I'm going to go Great Britain.
I'll give you a hint. It's a country very close to Great Britain.
France?
France. France is number one in golds, okay. Tied with Ethiopia.
Yeah, because I figured, like, it's not going to be really any other American country.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, it'd be another European country or Spain or, like, an Asian country for five.
Yeah. Remember that the Olympics started in 1892.
So, Europe. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go Spain.
It's not Spain.
One more guess?
I think you have two more guesses.
Two more guesses?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm going to guess a Scandinavian country. I'll go with Norway. In honor of our people.
It's not Norway. I will tell you it's a Scandinavian country.
Okay. Well, I was going to guess Portugal for my last one, but now I'm not. So let's go Denmark.
It's not Denmark. It is Finland.
Finland's so dumb.
What's wrong with Finland?
They're not Norway or Denmark.
Well, yeah, but their language sounds like Elvish.
I don't like Finland or Sweden because they're not Norway or Denmark.
The Flying Finns, they're very famous.
I thought that was skiing.
No, it's a track.
Okay. So it's Finland, France, USA, Ethiopia, and Kenya.
Yes. And the order depends on if we're counting golds or total medals.
Do golds. Well, I guess do both real quick just for fun.
So total, United States has the most with 10. Ethiopia and Kenya are second with 8. France has 6 and Finland has 5.
That's not that many.
Yeah, lots of countries win medals in the marathon, because you just kind of need one guy to run away.
Yeah.
We'll do the that's part of the reason I didn't do the women's is because, like, Romania has one randomly that nobody thought they would, you know, and they're impossible to guess.
Yeah.
So Ethiopia and France have 4 gold medals. The United States have 3. Kenya has 3, and then Finland. Actually, yeah. Finland, South Africa, Italy, Argentina, and East Germany all have 2.
Interesting.
A couple other highest. Portugal does have 1, so that would not have been a bad guess. Great Britain has 4 silvers, so that was an early guess of yours.
That was.
Chile has a silver medal from, I think it was 1918 I saw for them. 1928. They got a silver.
Big things.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'm very excited to do Olympic previews as we get closer to that.
I guarantee you that we're the only podcast who did a combined NFL draft and Olympic marathon show today. Or any day, ever.
You can't get it anywhere else, folks.
Feel free to subscribe, hit the 5-star. I mean, yeah, everyone does the NFL draft. Who's doing marathon stuff as well?
Exactly. But isn't that interesting that Kenya just picks three people and then they send them and they don't do a trials?
Well, it seems stupid.
It does. I think
I do think one race also sucks, like, as a way to determine it.
Yeah, because then you get things like if someone – well, the U.S. had this, like – 3 of our top women were injured for our marathon trials, and it's just kind of like, sorry, you don't get to go.
Yeah.
Which is fair in one way, but it's definitely unfair in another way.
I think, yeah, some kind of, like, point system, like, throughout the season or so. Like, there's no fair, perfect way to do it. But it does suck, the one-time race thing.
Yeah. No, I think Ethiopia does something interesting where they do trials, and from the they pick the 2 people that win the trials, and then they have the option for the third-place person that they can they can sub somebody else if they think they're going to do better, which might be the way to get the best team. Really sucks for that third place finisher.
Yeah.
So.
It does suck. But, I mean, yeah, the nice thing about the trials is you're earning it. I guess if you're chosen, you're still earning it too. But, like, if you win Boston twice and New York, And you like that sucks too.
Yeah. So well, and you again,
at least get a shot.
The other guy won Tokyo. He just did it with a slower time. So I don't know. I will say if you listen to any U.S. athletes get interviewed, at least the track athletes, they are way more nervous for the U.S. trials than the actual Olympics.
Yeah.
Because with the Olympics, they've already made the team. They've already been as nervous as they're going to be. So it's good for kind of, you know, getting that out of the way that nobody's nervous.
That's true. It also saves, like, the race, like, just the body. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. not doing the combine stuff. He's like, I just want to train for football.
Right.
Which, I guess, running is still running, but, like, it does matter, like, the timing of everything.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's why they do the marathon trials in, like, February, because you literally need 5 months for your body to recover from a marathon race. The
timing and everything. So. Olympics are going to be fun.
Yes, they
Super
are.
Excited for them.
Yeah, we won't go through every single race. We'll just give you a few that are gonna be big to watch.
Yeah, so in August we'll get Olympics and like football will be starting. So we just gotta make it till August.
Just gotta make it till August.
A lot of baseball. Did I tell you I met Carlos Alcaraz? Did I tell the podcast?
Oh, you've not said that. Let's tell that story.
So in Madrid, and then we'll wrap up. When we were in Madrid, like me and two of the girls we were with were walking through the plaza, as they say. And they had set up a tennis court for the Madrid Open.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we were walking back through it, and there were, like, a ton of people there. And they're like, well, they're not playing a match, so what's going on? And, like, Carlos Alcaraz was, like, having a press conference. It was sick.
That's cool, yeah. That's very cool.
It was honestly one of the more starstruck things. And, like, I've met James Harrison and, you know, other famous people. And I didn't, like, shake Carlos Alcaraz's hand or anything. It was just, like, seeing him. I was like, that's Carlos Alcaraz. That's the Wimbledon winner.
Yes. That's cool. No, he's going to be... Well, it's crazy because, like, he's this good this young. Like, it's not crazy to think that he could get more medals than I think Djokovic has the most now.
And Alcaraz is a lot more likable than Djokovic, for sure.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah. So, that was fun. Tennis is a fun sport. I appreciate everybody listening. Feel free to leave a 5-star, subscribe, rate, all that fun stuff. We got a couple hopefully big guests coming on in the next month or so, next couple months, so we'll keep you posted on that. And we'll talk to you guys next week.